I just applaud you, Ashwood, that you would have Texans come to you and allow them to speak to you all in 1 month or a short time with Paul and Perianne and then now me. I mean, I think you need a pat on the back. Yes, give yourself a hand because you are so brave. But I just want to tell you how much we love you. It has been such one of the greatest joys of my life to see the body of Christ around the world and to know that we're not alone, but to have people in networks to partner together. And I want you to know that Dwayne and I and the bridge and our network, we are with you. I feel like this morning my hands are with you to the plow. And we're going to the next level. We're seeing what is God calling us in this season as a church, as Ashwood. What is our, this season, what are we going to seize? Because you know how those opportunities, those kairos moments, they come, you have to seize that in the lifetime of an opportunity or that one closes. So I really feel like in the spirit, you're about to come upon this opportunity that if all of our faith is set together, we can really step in and seize something for the next generation. Because I'll tell you something, you have some of the cutest kids in this church, I believe, that I've ever seen. Wow, amazing. So what we're contending for is beyond ourselves. What we're believing for. If you can't get enough faith up for just yourself to overcome, just look around. There is enough reason all around us to keep going for the next generation. It's so exciting. So exciting. First of all, let's just turn, and then I'm going to pray. But if let's just turn to Hebrews 12. For our scripture today, Hebrews 12, and it was very brilliant during our prayer time. It was like everyone was just praying into the message today. Someone said, let's just hit the ground running. And we were like, wow, how'd they know? That's what I'm going to speak on. And then someone else was talking about shearing their sheep and how we have to lay aside the weight that's holding us down. And we were like, whoa. This is amazing. I think they've been reading my notes. But let's look in Hebrews 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. How many of you know in heaven, we have a great cloud of witnesses, even our loved ones that pioneered and now are in heaven. They're cheering us on. They're waiting for us to do what God's called us to do so that together we can all take our reward. And as a nation, this nation has so many amazing missionaries and pioneers, heroes of the faith that have gone before us. People, Hudson Taylor, William Carey, Amy Carmichael, all of those people that were so brave and pioneered new waves of missions. And I believe, which is so exciting about the next week with the brekkie and the breakfast and all of these things, isn't it interesting that they had to cross the sea to go into these people? And now, no matter where you fall in the politics of immigration, whether we like it or not, the world is now here. So you don't have to leave your family and leave your nation to find the nations. They're all around. They're here. We can win the world here from this nation. So we could camp out a long time right there. So no matter where you fall with immigration, and I know it's a hot topic that we're not going to talk about politics, but we know God so loved the world that no matter what the politics of immigration, we know that they are, God so loved the world that he loves them, has a plan for them, and us to love the world through him, to love through us, they're right here easily for us to reach and to love. So let's just keep reading. I get so excited that let's stay focused. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run. Say, let us run with endurance the race set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I love one version says, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus has finished his work, and now it is our turn to advance the kingdom through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we give this time to you. We thank you that you're stirring our faith. We thank you that you're encouraging us. You're giving us that power to endure. Lord, you're giving us a fresh breath to run the next leg of the race. And we thank you that every person would be touched and changed today. If there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus and doesn't know your love and your power, I pray today that they would meet you and that they would know you in an amazing way. And if we all agree, can we say yes? Amen. Well, I have a few. My message today is called See the Win, because we know we're in Christ, we are more than overcomers. That phrase, more than overcomers, is actually a hooper word. Hooper, the Greek word hooper, it's actually hooper nikeo. It's a conqueror, but then not just a conqueror, it's more on top of that. More than a conqueror. So God has called us to advance the kingdom, to live this victorious life in Christ. But sometimes we need to see the win through his perspective, not ours. Because sometimes what we feel like doesn't look very victorious, in the eyes of God, it's actually a win. But I have a few funny, they're actually hashtagged for the win for you today. Do we have those, guys? I think one of the first one is, I don't know if at your schools, but our schools, we have Crazy Hair Day. This is Crazy Hair Day for the win. This is actually her hair through the bottle that's pouring out over the top. It is quite funny. Crazy Hair Day for the win. The next one, we have Nemo for the win. Yes, the goldfish has managed to escape, and he is winning there today. Let's see if we can see this one. This is a sonogram for the win. Can you see the little baby there? But not only is this a child, there's also a kitten. She's not only pregnant with a child, but look at the kitten there in the right hand. Sonogram for the win. Is that not amazing? Next, we have trust fall for the win. If you've ever worked in youth ministry, you know the trust fall. You know, so here we have, look at that. It just amazing. Trust fall for the win. I think that's so cute. Next, we have a photo bomber. Do you call it that in the UK? Photo bomber for the win. Look, the dolphin there is even smiling. I mean, you could not make these things happen. What a win. Next, we have the cutest puppy for the win. Is that not a win there? Cute, cutest puppy there. And then last, we have, this is a dad for the win. You see the baseball bat there is flown off into the crowd. And the dad reflexes, you know, we talk about those mom reflexes all the time, automatically. Well, dads have them too. And this is a dad reflex for the win. Thank you very much. That's wonderful. But today I have three questions for you. The first question is, number one, what is a real win? What's the real win? The real win from the Father's perspective, not our earthly perspective of what success is. Because let me read you this quote. It's from Thomas Merton. It says, people may spend their whole life climbing that ladder of success only to find once they've reached the top, it's leaning on the wrong building. That's where we exert all of this stress and all of this pressure and all of this climbing that ladder of success, when actually that was not a real win for the kingdom. In God's eyes, that's not really a kingdom advancement or a real win for your life. You get to the top and you've lost your family. You get to the top and you've lost what really matters. So we want to change our perspective to see from the Father's eyes, what is a real win? You know, remember the Jamaican bobsled team? You know, we loved that movie. But for them, a real win wasn't going to be to win a gold medal. Because for that wasn't going to happen from all of their culture and all of what they had to train with. But for them, a win was to compete. For them, a real win was to shock the world with how they overcame. So we have to see, the real win may not be coming in first place with a gold medal around your neck. There may be a different perspective of what's going on that God sees. So how can we define a real win? And the first way is, a real win is when God gets the glory by his grace. Remember Lazarus, and Jesus said, you know, it was not looking good. He was starting to smell, and this does not look successful for Jesus's ministry. Lazarus is dead. And what did Jesus say? He was not worried, but he said, this will be for my glory. And there may be some things in your life today that look a little dead, that may look like it's starting to smell, that you're like, Lord, I don't know. This does not look good from my perspective. But if you can come a little higher and you can see it from God's perspective and trust him with it, then maybe when you let things go and you let God move, it will really be for his glory, by his grace. Because a real win in our life is letting that treasure in our earthen vessels shine out. That it's not of our own goodness, our own strength, but it is to show forth the excellency of his goodness through these broken jars. Amen? That's how we know it's a real win. The second way we know it's a real win is when we grow and mature. Do you know sometimes you win when you fail? I read a blog the other day that a family sits around the table and asks each of their children, Johnny, what'd you fail at today? Let's just celebrate. What did you fail at? Now that seems a little, especially from American perspective, we want to win. We want to succeed. We want to be first. What'd you fail at today? What were you just rubbish at? Actually, I can see this going down in Britain pretty well. Why is that? Why would that be something fantastic? Because that means they put the video game down. That means they got up off the sofa and put the crisps down and actually went out and tried something. Actually, how many times when you're training for sport, you're training for something, do you have to fail because then you learn how to do it right the next time? So when we fail, that actually means we might be winning. You know, when you fail, it means you tried. When it failed, you means you obeyed and you got there out of your comfort zone. So just because you risk something and it doesn't look like you won, actually when we learn and when we grow and when we mature, it's for the win, right? Say for the win. Yes, and the next reason we can define a real win is, and this is so important, and I believe this is so important for Ashwood, we win when we make others win. When we see that the win is beyond myself. And I love this story of this woman named Catherine Switzer. She was the first woman who ran the Boston Marathon in 1967. Now, at this time, it wasn't against the law or against the rules of the Boston Marathon that women could not run. It was just understood at that time, this is only 50 years ago, it was thought that women could not run marathons. It was thought that actually it was like breaking the sound barrier. They might just explode. Their parts were different than men's parts, and actually, they might, if they ran, people said these things. They actually thought if they ran that far, so their female parts might just explode. It was thought that they couldn't do it. So Catherine Switzer had a coach that believed in her and was very cheeky and entered her into this race in 1967. She did not know the waves that she was about to create. As she started running, actually the leader of the marathon was so upset that she had the audacity to try to run this marathon. Look at this picture. He jumped into the race and tried. He tore her bib off and pushed her off into the sidelines. Well, she had a boyfriend that was actually going to train for the Olympics in some kind of weightlifting thing, I think. And he just punched him right in the director right in the throat. And her coach said, "Catherine, run, run like crazy." Except he might have used a little more expletives that I will leave out this morning. And she took off running. Crazy. She didn't win that day. It would be not until 1972 that women were allowed officially to run the Boston Marathon. So that day she entered. But guess what? In 1972, she didn't win. She came in third place. Two other women beat her in 1972. But she won that day. Really, she was a real winner. Because she pioneered and she made the way for others to be able to win. Ashwood, what are we called to do today that makes these children win tomorrow? That makes the children around in the estates, in the council houses and all, what are we doing today that may seem so small and so insignificant, and no one ever applauds, and no one ever sees, and no one ever sees your sacrifice or sees the things you do or the coffees you make or the nappies you change or all of those things. But a decade from now, you've made someone else win. That is a real win. The next question we have to ask is then, what is my win? What is my win? And we can see this individually and also corporately as a body. What is my win? So important. Hebrews 12:1 that we just read says, "Let us run the race set before us." Do you know that as a body, you have a specific calling, a specific corporate anointing? Just like Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." First, God knows us. Do you know that Ashwood is in his heart? He has the days ordained for you as a body and the days ordained for you personally and individually planned out and written, appointed in his book. He knows you. He knows what you've gone through. He knows how you've done those wonderful community days, how you've prayed, how you've served, how you've loved. He knows you, but he has this destiny and these things purposed for you. He says, I knew you before you were born. I set you apart. He knows you. He set you apart. And then it says, I appointed you as a prophet to nations. He knows us. He sets us apart. And then he appoints us. Ashwood, you are appointed for something in this community. To touch nations, even. To touch the neighbor next door. But also, you never know how far your reach may go. Think about this analogy, though, how important it is to know what is my win or what is our win here as a body. Because there is no grace, which means there's no empowering, there's no strength to run someone else's race or to live out what's set before someone else. Think about this analogy. Say your garden is very overgrown. But yet you have a young man or a son that is well capable of mowing the garden. So you say, "Yes, son, today is the day. I know you. I've set you apart. I've appointed you to mow the garden." You're so excited. It is purposed before him. He goes outside and spends 3 hours, and you think, I can't wait. This is going to be the most perfect lawn. It's going to be edged so well. I'm so excited. And you walk outside expecting to see, preparing for your barbecue on this beautiful, sunny British day. You walk outside only to see the grass is still this tall. And you say, what have you done? What have you been doing? And he says, look, oh, I've worked so hard. I've been sweating. I need a drink. I need a cold drink. Look at these windows. I have washed all of the windows. I've been slaving and working. I nearly broke my neck on the ladder. And look at these windows. They're sparkling. They're beautiful. We have really clean windows. Standing in the grass this tall, you say, I did not ask you to wash the windows. I appointed you to mow the grass. There was a grace for the grass. Right now, I just want you to think, what are those things that maybe you try to win at other things? You try to maybe be someone else, or you try to compare, or you think, if only I could be like that. And God, someday we will stand before Jesus. And we don't want him to say, I asked you to mow the lawn. And you're saying, well, Lord, did you see? I washed the car. I cleaned the windows. I worked so hard that I nearly broke my neck. But I didn't ask you to do that. I had someone else for that. I made you for this. So let us see, what is our win? What is our win? What is the grace God's given us for our win? And then number three, the third question we need to ask is, what will steal our win or steal our victory? Because we know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10, but the Lord, Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly, life to the full, life victorious, life for the win. But there is going to be a fight. There is going to be the enemy that comes to steal our win. 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Did you know in the Olympics and in different things, someone else actually can run the race and qualify for the best people to get in later? This last year at the Olympics, this fascinated me. I had no idea that they would let other people qualify them to get in the race before, and they would save up their strength. Well, let me tell you this morning that there is only no one in Christ, that Christ Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. He went and he qualified us to live this abundant life. He ran the race before us. He swam those qualifying. He qualified us to inherit eternal life, to inherit the blessings of the cross, to inherit all of these things in Christ. He has qualified us, and there is no enemy or devil that can disqualify us. We disqualify ourselves. And the two ways I want to look at this morning before we go is two big ways we disqualify ourselves is, the first one is distraction. Distraction. Let me just read you this definition of distraction. It is a thing that prevents from giving full attention so something else gets it. It shifts attention. It is an extreme agitation of the mind or emotions, a distraction. Did you know that this word distraction actually comes from the French old form of torture? Yes, they would save this form of torture. We have a picture here for you. For the worst of traitors, where they would tie the limbs to horses so that they would be distracted. But can we just see how this kind of favors many of our lives today? We're pulled in this direction and pulled in this direction, pulled from this family member or pulled from this thing at work and this stress, and pulled in all of these different directions where we finally just come to parts and come apart from all of these different things that are agitating us and stressing us and pulling us from the one thing that God had called us to, appointed us to. Not a nice place to be. Does anybody ever seen that fun Disney movie called Up? In the movie, there's this really fluffy dog, and he's so fun, and he's so excited for the journey. And then all of a sudden, what happens? Squirrel. Do you know there are many squirrely Christians out there today? We're going to pray. Let's all sign up for the prayer initiative, right? Yes, I'm so excited. Sunday, I've signed up. I'm so excited. We're going to pray Monday morning. Squirrel, got this bill in the mail. I had a flat tire. One of the kids got sick. All of these things happen, and squirrel, and I find myself all the way to July. Oh, yeah, weren't we going to pray? When do we start that prayer thing? Distracted. Isn't that the way? You know, it's so simple that so many times the enemy doesn't even have to have some major attack. All he has to do is send a little squirrel. And we get so distracted from, oh, yeah, weren't we believing for land? Oh, yeah, weren't we believing for this amazing thing? Oh, yeah, it's Christmas. What happened with that? Distraction. We steer where we stare. So whatever gets our attention is the lane we start steering into. If you remember last year, I think we have a picture of this. You remember Michael Phelps in the Olympics. Now, the year in 2012, I know he ran so many races, swimming races, we can't even keep up with them. But there was one race in 2012 he did not win. And the South African, Chad Leclos, won that race. So last year, they were going to meet up again. And Chad, you can see him here, the South African, he had won the gold medal and beat Michael Phelps before, and Michael was not happy about it. And so last summer, it was so funny. If you go on, you can see the clip of this. He was boxing in front of him. He was just agitating him and, like, just getting as close to his face as he could to just antagonize him. Like, I'm going to get you. You're going down. Just smack talking to him. And all of this, all over social media, it went viral. If you see Michael Phelps' face, he would not even look at him. All the wild distraction, intimidation, all of that he was trying, it became a hashtag, the Phelps face. He stared straight ahead. Some people called it hashtag stink face. Hashtag Darth Vader face. He would not give him a second. Well, how many of you know that on Monday morning, the devil is just, not that I'm saying South Africans are the devil, okay? Move away. I love South Africa. Move away from that analogy. But the enemy of your destiny comes on Monday morning and says, I'm going to get you this week. You think, oh, you are praising. Oh, you think you're excited. You're believing. Hey, guess what? I've got so many things I'm going to distract you with. And we need to rise up in the power of the Holy Spirit and say, just like Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. I am going to be a follower of Christ, and I set my face like a flint, and I will not be moved. Straight ahead, that Phelps face. Then if you know what happened with the race, we see this next. Because Chad, this race was a little distracted. And if you see, where is he looking? Phelps is straight ahead on his race. Where is Chad's focus? In the lane next to him. He had a race. Even Chad, there can only be one first place, but he should have been thinking about his time. Straight ahead in front of him, making his time better, but his focus had steered over to the next lane, which actually slowed him down. So when we get distracted, we start losing out on our destiny, on our win. We have to keep straight ahead. And then last way that we lose our win is disappointment. I would have despaired unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Those disappointments, those things, those times that we think, I was going for it, but I did not see this in the plan. Lord, this was not a part. This pain, this disappointment, this injury, I did not know this is what I signed up for. And those things trip us up. And sometimes we find ourselves laying there in pain and thinking, is it worth it? Oh, this wasn't a part of the plan. Is it worth it? How am I ever going to get up? How am I ever going to keep going on? And we have just a little video here that's going to show us the way we overcome distraction is focus, but the way we overcome disappointment is not quitting. If we're ready, let's take a look.
I'm remembered for two things. One, for being a part of the winning relay team that defeated the Americans in the 1991 World Championships. But the most famous thing that I'm known for is actually not finishing a race, and it's for the race in Barcelona. Unfortunately, I'd had a few injury problems, mainly with Achilles tendons, and that sort of hampered me through my career. But by the time I was in Barcelona, I felt great. There was no issues, no problems.
Derek Redmond, the best form he's shown since he broke the British record, which was way back in 87.
And I remember thinking, I'm going to win this race. The gun goes.
Wow.
And I had a really good start.
Redmond's got off very fast indeed.
I'm flowing down the back straight. And as I describe it, I hear a funny pop. And two or three strides later is then when I felt it, and I felt the sort of the rip of the hamstring.
Redmond has broken down. He's on the track, kneeling down, and Derek Redmond, well, his injury problem, the jinx has struck again.
And I just remember having my hand on the back of the leg and just sort of collapsing to the floor in pain. Then I remembered where I was, and it was just like, you're in the Olympic semi-final. And that's pretty much what made me get up and start to run or hobble. And I just thought, you know what, I'm going to finish this race. It might be the last race I ever run, so I'm going to finish it. Not for anybody else, I'm going to finish it for me. And I was just about to start into the home straight, and I could sense this person on my left-hand side. And then I heard a very familiar voice shout out, Derek, it's me. And instantly I knew who it was. It was my dad. Up until then, I'd managed to keep all my emotions in and hold it together relatively well. But as soon as I saw him, that was it. I lost it all, and I was in tears. I can't believe this has happened. Why me? You know.
With his track record and injuries, it may be his only Olympic appearance. He just can't hold it.
He would always have been there with me, and he spent many a year standing on the sidelines in the middle of the winter with a coffee in his hands, trying to keep warm. And all he was saying was, look, you've got nothing to prove, you're a champion to us, you'll be back, don't worry, we'll do this together. I just said to him, get me back into lane five, I want to finish, just get me back into lane five. And the joke that I always make about that, it's the first and last and only time I've ever been able to shout at my dad and get away with it. You know, any other time as a kid, you would have got a quick smack round here and told, oi, less of your cheek. We still had officials trying to stop us. And they're not quite sure what to do. They're thinking, who's this crazy man that's just walked onto the track? What's going on? All this sort of stuff. And right up until the point I'd gone over the line and walked through the line, I had no idea the reaction it was having on the crowd. weeks, and I sort of, you know, had a look around. People were going absolutely mad. Everyone was on their feet and all this sort of stuff. Some of the messages and letters and stuff that I get from people say, you know, you have no idea who I am. I'm not in sport. I've been through, you know, some hard times. Just want to thank you for your inspiration.
Thank you so much. And whoever of the worship team, if you want to come, or if you wouldn't mind just standing as we close today. But there's a few parts in this video that so stick out to me. And one of them is that he says, Derek, it's your dad. And I know all around here, we're all in different parts of our journey, but in different things of our life going on. But if whenever you find yourself in that place of distraction or that place of disappointment, and you just don't know, is it worth it to go full out? Is it really worth it to give my all? Is it really worth it? Or should I just sit on this sofa, on this settee, and eat this bag of crisps and check out? Is it really worth it? Maybe you find yourself in pain this morning. Maybe the pain of disappointment, the pain of confusion, of not understanding how things didn't line up with how you thought it would look successful, or you thought this was going to be for the win, and you're just like, Lord, this doesn't look like I'm winning. Maybe this morning, could you just hear him coming up to you and saying, hey, it's me. It's me. We're going to do this together. Let's get up. Let's look up. Let's look to Jesus. Look up. There's just a crowd of one, an audience of one. And he's already qualified you. He's already gone before you. And now we have that love of the Father. We have the power of the Holy Spirit that comes, picks us up and says, come on, we're going to get up, look up, and we're not giving up. Because the only way you lose is if you quit. So this morning, I believe that there's a new strength. We go from glory to glory and strength to strength. And this morning, can you just hear the Father saying, I'm here. We're going to do this together. And I believe a new strength, a new energy is here that you can say, get me back into lane 5. Get me back into my lane. Get me back into what you've called me to do. Get me back into what my win is, Lord. I'm not going to look at this person, what this person's doing, what this person's saying. All of the distractions, all of the intimidation, all of the fear, all of those officials, all those people that try to keep you back, the Father's just got the stiff arm saying, uh-uh, don't touch them. They're in their lane. There's an anointing. There's an appointment. There's a destiny. There's a mission. And I just speak that freedom over each person individually to run your race. Run, run, run. And Lord, let us just see our wins. Not comparing to anyone else what you've called us to do. We just receive your strength, receive your energy. Receive your courage where we've been discouraged this morning in Jesus' name. And it's for your glory, and it's for all the others that come behind us, that our win, our obedience opens the door and makes a way for others. That's a kingdom win. And that's what we're believing for in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Just as we close, I just felt that as I was listening to Chris, I just really wanted to clarify something this morning. So this morning's message from Chris isn't a motivational message. It's a revelation message. And I feel like some of us may be sitting thinking, oh, this is, and it was great motivation. There's no sense of it not being motivational, but I felt that actually God was saying this morning, this is a revelation message. This isn't about a kind of an encouragement, a kind of a cheers up, or some of those sporting analogies which you would often identify with motivation. I felt that actually this morning God is saying this is very clearly a revelation message. It speaks to us individually, but it speaks to us corporately as well. And it lands right where we're at. And of course, we know that when we hear God speak to us, and when we've just heard somebody speak to us and into our lives, there is some processing or processing. But actually, I believe this morning that God is speaking into something that is bringing revelation to us. And this morning, just in these moments, just allow God to identify particularly the distraction and particularly the disappointment. Chris's message so clear as to how we can address those two points, how we can address those two things. And Chris mentioned it, but when we were praying before, there was several people just had pictures or had images of what God wanted to do with us here today. And they didn't know what Chris was going to speak about, but it was so clear that they were all exactly the same things. And you know how encouraging it is to know that it's not just my good idea or your good idea, but it's God who's speaking revelation, truth to us and into our lives. Let me add one more picture and then I'm going to ask Chris to pray for us. This morning, you should know that I was doing the vacuum cleaning. No, it's all right, you don't need to applaud. It's something that happens regularly in our house, although regularly, anyway, let's not define that. Yeah. And as I was doing the vacuum cleaning, I was just thought, I'll do this quickly, and I was going round everything. You know, there's two ways of vacuum cleaning. You can go round the things, or you can move things and actually do a great job. And I felt that actually as I was doing that, I felt God was saying to some of us this morning, you know, it's easy to go round things, but sometimes God wants to actually deal with stuff and clean the bits, if you like that image, actually to move things out of the way and actually do a proper job. And I felt this morning for some of us, it's not a sense of condemnation, it's not a do a proper job sounds a bit, but actually God is saying, look, I'm here this morning, I can move some of the mountains, I can deal with distraction, I can deal with disappointment. And one of the things that is great about Pastor Dwayne and Pastor Chris is they always unlock and release faith. And so just as we close this morning, I'm just going to ask Chris just to pray for us as church and as individuals, that God would just unlock faith in our hearts and our lives. And if you want to receive that this morning, then why don't we just reach out to God? You don't have to reach out your hands, but sometimes something is unlocked as we adopt a physical posture that demonstrates the spiritual posture that we're in. And we are agreeing together as church that we want to allow God to unlock faith in us as a people to achieve the things that God has called us to achieve, but to also to be the people that God's called us to be. So Chris, would you mind praying for us?
Yes, I'm just going to pray for faith, but then as well, as we receive faith, I'm going to pray and we're going to believe for favor. For faith and favor. Because grace has provided an amazing destiny for this place, but we access it through the door of faith. And then we step into that favor as we walk into and release our faith. So right now, I just release faith. Lord, we receive. It's not on our own. It's not something we squint and work really hard to get up faith. We receive it. We receive faith. We rise up. We believe. We believe. We see you, Jesus. We see the things you've called us to do. And we will rise up as a body together. We just release faith. Release faith for the future. Faith for the future. Faith for the future. Faith for those people that aren't here yet. Faith for those people who are in empty, who are destined to be in any empty seat today. Father, we thank you for overflowing for salvations. Can you just believe with me? For salvations, for deliverance, for families, for whole families to come to faith. Lord, for teenagers, for young adults. Lord, we believe for the future. Faith, faith, faith. We don't see it yet. We don't see it, but we can see it in the Spirit. And we reach out and we grab it and we set our yes in agreement with your yes. Can you just say yes right now? Yes, we'll take it. Lord, we get up once again. We're going to get up and we look to you, Jesus. And we say yes, we will run. Yes, we will believe. Yes, we will receive it. Yes, yes, yes. And Lord, right now, we just believe and we set our faith together in agreement for favor. Favor isn't fair. It's grace, unmerited, lavished, extravagant. So I just believe for favor to be released on Ashwood. Favor, favor, favor. Favor for land, favor for buildings, favor for resources, favor for divine appointments and divine connections. Lord, favor to touch this community. We just pray for an open heaven in this place, an open heaven around this place that people come here and they say, I can breathe. I feel peace. All these things that have just been the confusion and the voices that I just felt so confused. But when I come here, it's clear. I have peace, heaven, angels ascending and descending. Favor, favor. We just receive it, Lord, for this season. We've had favor in the past, but there's a new favor unfolding. A new favor unfolding for this season, for this day. For the next generation. Unfolding favor. Unfolding favor. But we reach out and we set our agreement and our yes with your promise. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And for his glory, by his grace. And if you agree, can you just one more time say yes? Yes, we receive it. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big, big hand clap in advance for what he's doing. Amen.
Fantastic. Unfolding favor. I like a bit of that, would you? Well, thank you for being with us this morning. Why don't we thank Pastor Chris and Rachel for being with us. Don't forget, next week, big brekkie next Sunday morning. Lots of things for us to be thinking and praying into. Thy kingdom come, sign up sheets, the tea, coffee, and refreshments. Please go and grab that. If you'd like someone to pray for you as we finish our time together this morning, then please come to the front and there'll be people ready and available to do that. God bless you. Have a fantastic week. We look forward to seeing you again very, very soon.